There were a couple of questions submitted during the time between the sessions, so I thought I'd start with those and then see what you want to talk about. So one question, I can find that dropping the phrase, "let whatever happens happen," to be a useful way of reminding myself of the possibility of relaxed, effortless, receptive awareness. It's an instruction from a do-nothing, just-sitting practice I've done. Is it okay to use this phrase in the practice that we've been doing? So, the short answer to this question is yes, absolutely. A slightly longer answer to this question speaks to how we use language in our practice. I did speak at one point about using wisdom reflections. For instance, this is nature. This is impermanent. Of course, is one of the ones that I've used myself a lot. Of course, this is happening. So to me, this phrase, "let whatever happens happen," is a kind of a phrase of wisdom. It's a pointing to the allowing what's arising to arise. So it's bringing in the allowing side, and it's bringing in the kind of the sense of there's a lot of stuff that can go on. And what I found with using language as a Dharma support, so this is essentially, it's using reflection. This is bringing in a reflection into the mind that can help to balance the mind. So it's inclining the mind towards wisdom. It's inclining the mind towards balance. So we can use kind of phrases that other people offer us, like, you know, the Buddha encourages us to remember, this is impermanent. And yet sometimes language that resonates with us really, kind of, that has a resonance with us. It's like the language just resonates with what we understand. So when like that, of course note for myself, that of course recognition for myself, that's just language that really resonates for this mind. And when we find wisdom that's very resonant, it has a kind of an organic, natural way to support us in our practice. And so sometimes it's useful to find language that works for you. So in the encouragement to, from every now and then, you know, check the awareness. Am I aware? Even the language for questions we use like that. Am I aware? What am I aware of? Some people have said that those questions feel too clinical or something. And sometimes they say they found just using the word here is useful for that. You know, am I here? Here is here to help. To help one just kind of connect with the awareness. The question this morning came up around the what is the attitude not being a very resonant question. And so sometimes other language can be more resonant for you. So you are welcome to find language that supports you in and use reflection in your practice in this way. I would not encourage a lot of thinking or very long phrases, you know, but just more of these brief kind of reminders that point to wisdom. If you find wisdom that resonates for you, feel free to use that language. Sometimes I've seen when I've had an understanding or an insight. Talked a little bit about understandings and insights the other day and different ways those can happen. Sometimes those understandings and insights don't come with much in the way of an articulation. You know, it's just more like a feeling of relief or something like that. There's the sense of there's been a release from suffering. But sometimes those understandings, those insights come with it's almost like the understanding or the insight bubbles through our system and expresses itself in a thought. I mentioned one of those the other day for myself, where the recognition around self-hatred arising, there was the deep kind of seeing of the arising of self-hatred and the recognition that what had arisen was simply a thought. And the mind expressed it kind of with the startling, kind of, it was like startled. It's like, well, this is just a thought. That's all this is. But it articulated it in that way. It said it to, it's like, I didn't say it. It's almost like the system said it to itself. This is just a thought. And that phrase became useful for me. That articulation of an understanding became useful for me to use at other times. Sometimes we mistakenly think it's the thought that has freed us. And we might think that, well, it worked once, so let me try later. Okay, this is just a thought. Oh, gee, why didn't it work? What am I doing wrong? And I think it's more because the insight was at a deeper level, and the thought was more of a after effect of the insight. So the thought didn't produce the insight. But thoughts like that, when they connect to wisdom that we have understood directly, they can create conditions for the mind to have a little more balance at times, if we're not expecting them to completely, obliterate the suffering in that moment, but more just, dropping it in as wisdom that might help to balance the mind. Sometimes we can see that those thoughts can kind of remind us of something we've known and create a little bit of space in our system. So this is using reflection. It's a little bit of support for us if we find that the practice needs a little bit of support to be aware, to recognize what's here. And Sayadaw Utejaniya talks quite a bit about using these kinds of little reflections as tools for us, as supports. So, language that works for you to support balance of mind, go for it. Does not have to be approved. You get to approve it yourself. And then another question around sounds like this person is in seeing different ways to be aware, has kind of recognized those with images or with visual, almost visual images. So the question is, often I find that awareness has the effect of restraint. The image there is like talking to classmates when the teacher suddenly appears and students become quiet. At other times, it's like when a thief is robbing and the household wakes up and turns the lights on. Yet at other times, like a nice roommate who just smiles from a distance and you realize that you need to do what you need to do differently. And when there's no awareness, it's like a spouse you've learned to ignore. Just wondering which of these visuals is the kind of awareness we want to grow more of. Well, I would say the visuals themselves can lend themselves. So I think it's more about the feeling of those visuals as they are landing with you in the moment. So sometimes, and I'll just speak a little bit about perception here because, I haven't talked about perception too much, just very in a tangential way. But our minds recognize experience in so many different ways. So, when we hear a sound, our minds may recognize that experience by articulating what the sound is with a word, like lawnmower. So you hear a sound of the lawnmower, and then the mind will say to itself, lawnmower. as a way of recognizing. This is a function of perception. We think often that that's thinking about, but it's a subtle kind of perception, is a subtle kind of thought that serves to recognize, make sense of the world for us. So, lawnmower, we hear the sound and our minds recognize it as lawnmower. We might also recognize it by seeing an image of somebody mowing a lawn. Visualize the kind of lawnmower they're using, somebody riding around on a tractor or somebody walking behind it. We might visualize it in a fairly detailed way as a form of recognition. So perception functions in this way. It recognizes experience. It might function through kind of an image or through as if we're talking to ourselves, or as if even I've sometimes seen perception happen as if I'm reading a word from a book. I've also experienced it as if I'm doing something, like when I'm remembering when I used to be a dancer, when I'm remembering that. Sometimes it feels the feeling, it's like the feeling in the body as if I am dancing. So perception, kind of memory, can function in that way too, to perceive something. So there's lots of different ways perception works. With our meditative experiences, including the experience of mindfulness, it may come with some kind of perception of, the kind of mindfulness that's happening right now. And it could produce some of these visual images. I'm not sure if that's what you're describing here, but it's possible that that's part of what's happening, is that in different situations, like the image of separation, like for me, there was a sense of separation at times, a sense of, looking at something from a distance. Or sometimes the sense of being right inside of the experience, just right in the middle of it. So two different ways that the mind kind of recognized or perceived the kind of mindfulness that was happening. So that might be what's happening here too with you. It's like the person who asked this question, that some of the recognition of what's the kind of mindfulness that's happening might be recognized through one of these images. It also might be just simply that you've kind of thought through these different experiences and came up with these analogies. That might also be what's happened. But I just wanted to speak a little bit about perception there, because sometimes in our meditation, there are these interesting experiences, visual experiences that happen that seem connected to what's going on, but may seem kind of random also. So, for instance, states of spaciousness or calm might be experienced with the visual of as if you were looking out over a vast field on a day with a clear blue sky. You might just have a visual of that, and it's kind of connected to the feeling of the state. And there's a way in which those images can have some potency to them because they're so resonant with the state. But it's just like our mind is trying to make sense of the state. So you can just notice, kind of, if you have those kinds of images, you can just notice that those have happened. You don't have to try to stop them, but you also don't have to give too much weight to them. So, with respect to these different images of awareness, and I'd say again, it depends more on the feeling that's coming with the awareness. It could well be, that awareness having the effect of restraint can be a wholesome thing. That there's a sense of the mind. I've seen this in my own experience of, the mindfulness arising as it sees the mind launching out towards reactivity, and seeing that launching, it's like, yeah, we're not going to do that. And so the very mindfulness of seeing the movement in that direction acts as a kind of restraint. It just like makes that pattern vanish, much as the kids stop talking when the teacher appears. Just like, yeah, we don't do that. We don't do that here. We don't do that. And yet, that image of the kids getting quiet when the teacher comes in the room also can have a resonance. And again, it depends on how you are experiencing these images. Also, can have the feeling of, oh, doing something wrong, better shut up, better not be seen. And so it can have a little bit of a sense of being shut down. So I can't really answer the question of which of these kinds of visuals is the kind of mindfulness we're wanting to cultivate. We're wanting to cultivate a kind of mindfulness that has a feeling of ease, of receptivity, of skillfulness, and sometimes that skillfulness can be that the mind lets go of something that's headed in some direction. So I would just more encourage the exploration of when there's mindfulness, checking into how is this mindfulness connecting with experience? Does it want something to happen? Is it leaning towards? Is it trying to repress something? And if those are happening, be aware of that. If the images that you mentioned, if the images are supportive in terms of supporting a sense of ease, like the one, a nice roommate who smiles from a distance, that quality of friendly attention from a distance, if that evokes something that supports you to be present in the moment, you're welcome to use it, much as I talked about using, the thought of whatever happens, happens. Visual images can serve in that same way. It's a kind of a reminder of what might be skillful in this moment. So I don't know if that's a very satisfying answer for you, but that's what feels like it's there for me to respond to.